The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Kieran Mazaria, CEO of Cadence Minerals. KDNC is ticker there. Kieran, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Justin. It's a pleasure as always.
Yeah, in this cold, wintry morning, a nice update to warm the cockles of the shareholders' hearts there. Share prices up. Update on a Mapa iron ore project, which, of course, is a big project there with big potential. And we'll get into that in a bit. But as always, though, Kieran, it's not just about this. You've got other sectors of the business, the company. So give us a brief summary as to what Cadence is all about, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So Cadence is an investment vehicle listed on AIM, ticker KDNC. We have investments in the lithium and iron ore sectors, both two commodities which are critical for the resurgence out of COVID and the resurgence of electric vehicles. And we have the Amapa project, which we will go on to in a second. We have MacArthur Minerals, which is an iron ore project in Australia. And we have equity stake in European Metals Holdings, a strategic lithium project in the Czech Republic, and some JVs in other assets, including Bacanora Lithium, which also recently did an update.
Yeah, it's all getting hot as well, isn't it? The EV space, you can see a lot more news coming out, a bigger adoption of electric vehicles, and all that's just getting hot as well. But let's focus on this bit of news now. Update on the Amapa iron ore project. What's this all about, Kieran?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've just released an announcement where one of the critical things to get our 20% into the Amapa project was to get a settlement agreement with the banks. Now, we announced in September last year that we'd got an agreement in principle. It's been taking some time. We've got three banks, three different business cultures who are just taking their time to get their act together. And, you know, and really we're just through those final parts of discussions and then, you know, producing a settlement document. So, you know, that has been ongoing. Meanwhile, and this was prior to us reaching a settlement, Dev, the owner of the asset, had filed a petition to allow the shipment of the first net $10 million worth of iron ore stockpiles so that we could pay the labor creditors and also start investing in the asset, starting those commissioning studies, which are all critical to getting this mine back into production, which is then what we want to be doing. Mm. So they filed that. There was various to-ing and fro-ing in terms of various courts, appeals by the banks at the higher court, and which got upheld, and there was an interlocutory injunction put in place. But yesterday we found out that effectively the higher court have ruled in favour of Dev, saying that actually, yes, it should be able to ship this initial first $10 million worth of net $10 million worth of iron ore and, you know, carry out those activities. So it's great news because it does allow us to Dev to move this forward and start shipment of the material. And also, you know, there's also great news that we're still progressing with the banks. So I think it's a double whammy of good news there. I think the next things that we'll be doing is, you know, getting moving in both of those aspects. So, you know, try to get that settlement agreement finalized as soon as possible and executed and start moving the material.
Yeah. And you say that this is remaining a major precondition to make an initial 20% investment in the Amapa project. So Do you need to raise funds for that, or do you have the funds?
No, not at all. So we don't need to raise any funds because we actually raised those funds in July 2019, and they've been sitting in a judicial escrow account. Mm-hmm. So that was the $2.5 million or 10 million reals at the time. And that's been sitting there and really just waiting for the settlement agreement. So as soon as the settlement agreement is executed, that $2.5 million vests, we get our 20%, and there we go. We're in there, and we then can start recognizing part of that revenue associated with the sale of the stockpile. And it's, you know, that's really positive and move forward. Our next stage of investments is once all the licenses have been granted, which will be, you know, in the coming year. But we've already contributed, and that's $3.5 million for 7%, but we've already contributed a proportion of that, and that's being credited against there. So at this point in time, in relation to this, we don't need to raise any capital, and that's really positive as well for shareholders.
Yeah. So, you know, like you say, things don't run as smooth as possible when dealing with different jurisdictions and all that stuff and regulatory bodies. But so over the next, 3, 6, 12 months, what are you hoping to achieve then, Kieran?
Yeah, well, as you rightly say, things don't all run always smoothly. So I'm going to anchor that answer with from events. So I think, you know, once the settlement agreement, so once we start shipping material and, you know, the settlement agreement is finalized, you know, we're going to start production from the stockpiles. The recommissioning period that we'll then begin recommissioning studies almost soon after that, which will take about 6 to 12 months to get that done. We at the same time will actually start some of the recommissioning work, which is about 18 months. But all in all, we look to have new production from the mine between 18 and 24 months from the point that we start moving the material and shipping. And, you know, in between that, we'll have 18 months of production from the 1.4 million tons of 1.4 million tons of iron ore stockpile that is there, which is, you know, a large proportion. The average grade is about 62%. And so there's going to be revenue from there. And in the shorter term, you know, we've always said we want to get a scoping study out. So that scoping study should allow the public to understand the potential value in terms of actually hard NPV figures from doing scoping study level work within about 50% level of accuracy. So that coming out is also going to be important for investors to understand what we understand at the moment. So, and we've already done some of that. We've got the mineral resource estimate has been done. Internally, we've completed the mine plan, which is looking positive. The real big outstanding item we just need to complete or get done really is the conditioning engineering report on the plant. And then we're nearly there on the scoping study. So hopefully over the next, you know, as I said, from once the movement of shipment of material starts, you know, we're going to closer around that time, we'll get the settlement agreement. We'll also get in place we'll get the scoping study, and then it's, you know, towards production and revenue. It's revenue from the stockpiles and production after that.
Yeah. And just for people, just a reminder of the potential size of the prize here, you know, going back to maybe Anglo-American or the figures you have, what's the potential here?
Well, I think the simplest potential is to look at Anglo-American's written off value when they last had it and gross it up, because they didn't have a full 100%, but the 100% written down value was $600 million. So we're getting 27% for $6 million. So I think for Cadence, this is a great investment and a potential prize there. And, you know, that value obviously changes depending on economics, but that's a good prize to be aiming for.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Three reasons then, Kieran, if someone's liking the sound of this, and of course you have other projects, why they should hit that follow button on your page and add Cadence to their watch list, please.
Yeah, absolutely. First reason, I think we've just gone through it, a mapper and the value there that we potentially have, assuming that everything can be executed, you know, an Anglo-American value of $600 million for an investment of $6 million for 27%. We also have several other assets which are all at the stage where they're getting up that value curve. We have EMH, which has got a great partner, and that is going through the process of getting its bankable feasibility study done, and has performed incredibly well in the last 6 months. We have our JV with Bacanora. They just came out with an announcement. They're starting site construction. They're ready to produce lithium from they're looking at 2023 for production. And we have other JV assets which are going well. So we have those two things. And then lastly, when we look at what's happening in terms of the resurgence out of COVID, the adoption of electric vehicles, we're in those two commodity spaces, which I think some analysts, form part of the coming super cycle, which are going to be very commodity specific. And that's in lithium and in iron ore. and rare earth minerals.
Excellent stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff, Kieran. Good to chat to you as always, and hopefully we'll be catching up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Justin. It's a pleasure as always.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.